I can testify to you because he has rescued me. You know what that means, to rescue somebody? That means there's no other avenue of escape for them. That means they're at the extremity. They've went as far as they can. And without an intervention, there's no hope for them. That may be where you're at tonight. You may feel like that without an intervention, there's no hope for you. But there's a God that'll give you a divine intervention tonight that'll absolutely come to your rescue. All you got to do is ask him. That's the beauty of it. That's the wonder of it. All you have to do is ask him. That's absolutely it tonight. God bless you. God bless you. The offer tonight was $648. May the Lord bless you. Man, I tell you what, I feel like we've already had church tonight. My soul has been blessed. Absolutely been blessed by the testifying, by the song service. I'm telling you, that if you come to church with a church-going mind, looking for God to help you, God will absolutely meet your need. He will. Some folks come to church with a mindset that they don't want any help from God. But I'm telling you, when I come to church, I come expecting. I come looking, don't you? Amen. God bless you tonight. So glad. Appreciate Brother Rick coming over, being with us tonight. They're renovating at his church, and so they didn't have church tonight. So he didn't lay out of his home church to come over tonight. He had renovation going on, so he just came over here, support us and be with us, and I sure am glad of that tonight. Book of Mark, the 15th chapter tonight, the Lord would help us. The book of Mark, the 15th chapter, and we're going to start reading in verse 17, and we're going to read down through verse 39. Book of Mark, chapter 17, 15 rather, verse 17 down through verse number 39. And they clothed him with purple, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. They clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superinscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said amongst themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, and we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lam sabachthani," which being interpreted, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink, saying, Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. Father, I thank you tonight for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that we have felt already in this house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the speaking of the words tonight, the song service. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. For a little while, Lord, would you touch us? Would you help us to be an obedient vessel? God, help me tonight, Lord, to preach this word with conviction that you've laid upon our heart. Help me, God, to deliver it as you would have me to deliver it, and let it accomplish that which you send it forth to accomplish. And if you'll do these things, I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and the church said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Lord, help me tonight. I want to preach to you on the message of the cross. The message of the cross. In some ways, we have became too accustomed to the cross of Jesus Christ. We see crosses every day in our life. While you're sitting here tonight, if you'll look over on the end of the pew that you're sitting in, there you'll see a cross on every pew in this church. Behind me tonight on this wall, there is an image, a picture of art. There it is. Everybody ought to have to preach once. Amen. A cross. We have them everywhere. It's an everyday part of our life. We see it everywhere we go. I'm not against seeing the cross whatsoever. I really am not. I am not against seeing the cross in any way. But like any other symbol, I think that sometimes it loses its power in our life when we become simply too familiar with it. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Does that make sense? Sometimes when we become familiar to things, we become desensitized to things. We become desensitized to them because of our familiarity with them. Think about this. For many tonight in the world, the cross is nothing more than a piece of jewelry that they'll put on and they'll wear it around without ever really thinking about what that cross stands for. For some, it's an icon of worship tonight that they will kneel before and they'll pray to that cross. Some see the cross as if it contains supernatural power and they'll hang it over their bed or they'll carry it around as if to ward off some kind of evil with it. Paul would talk to us in the book of 1 Corinthians in the first chapter about this very subject. He would tell us that the cross to some people is offensive. Some people are offended by the cross. He would write in 1 Corinthians and he would say, But we preach Christ crucified. Get a witness out there tonight. We preach Christ crucified. This is the number one message of every preacher that ever climbed into a pulpit and ever opened his Bible was to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Get a witness out there to that tonight? Y'all believe that? Yes, it is. We preach Christ crucified, but listen what he says. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. He said his preaching, how that he preached Christ crucified unto the Jews, caused them to stumble. It was the very thing that God instituted to save them was the very thing that tripped them up and caused them to be lost was the very fact that Jesus Christ,
the Savior of the world, their Messiah, that God sent to them because he died on the cross of Calvary, they could not understand how that their Messiah, how that he could die on the cross and bring about salvation. So the preaching of Christ crucified became to them a stumbling block that instead of saving them, caused them to stumble. He would go on and he would say, the cross is foolishness to some people. You ever met somebody that thought the cross of Jesus Christ was foolishness? He wrote about the Greeks. He would say, under the Greeks, it's foolishness to preach Christ crucified. To the Greeks is foolishness. They were such sophisticated people, those Greeks were, that when they looked at a Savior dying on the cross, they declared it to be absolutely foolishness. Could I tell you tonight? Could I just preach to you all tonight what I feel on my heart? Is that all right? Could I tell you tonight? There's a lot of people talking themselves out of salvation tonight. They're following the understanding of men, Brother Raleigh. They're following the wisdom of men. Y'all get this tonight? Lean into their own understanding. And Paul said, I preach Christ crucified to those Greeks, but they were too smart. They were too humanly intelligent. They had it figured out in their mind to the point that they could not submit themselves to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was foolishness unto them. To them, the cross of Christ absolutely made no sense. But I'm glad Paul didn't stop there in his writings. But I'm glad that he went on to write these words. But of them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hallelujah. Paul says, this is what he's saying, that those who have grasped the true meaning of the cross understand that it is not weak or it's not foolishness, but instead it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It is the power of God because through the cross, God forever destroyed the kingdom of Satan and broke the grip of sin. It is the wisdom of God because in the cross, God used a tool that neither man nor devil could have ever foreseen to accomplish salvation for his people. Had Satan known what Jesus would accomplish on that cross, he would have never pushed him toward Calvary's hill. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 and say, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. I want to tell you tonight, the message of the cross is not a weak message. It's not a foolish message. It is a message filled with power and wisdom of the Almighty Eternal God. Woo! My Lord God in heaven tonight. I never thought we'd come to a day when people would say, preacher, you preach on the cross too much. Whoo! I'm going to tell you, there's never been a preacher ever preached on the crucified Lord and Savior. Ever one sermon, not one time too many. Listen, Brother Rick Combs said exactly right tonight. Woo! This is our foundation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And without the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no anything else. There absolutely is no righteousness. There is no holiness. There is nothing without the cross of Jesus Christ. If our religion is based on anything short of the cross of Jesus Christ, our religion religion is in vain. You all believe what I'm preaching to you tonight? Whew. I want to share this with you tonight. I got to preach this to somebody else. And I want to share it with you first tonight, okay? The message of the cross is a message of pain. It's a message of suffering. It's a message of death. I stand by my opening statement tonight. The familiarity of it is the downfall of us. It really is. It really is. Folks so well understand the cross of Jesus Christ that it no longer holds that high place in their heart that it needs to hold. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Whew. Listen, the message of the cross is a message of pain and suffering and death. We all know that. I hope I don't bore you too bad tonight, but I want to get this out. Three times in this text, we are told that Jesus was crucified. How many people believe that tonight? Absolutely. He was crucified. Whew. The death of Jesus, you can read it in Mark's gospel. You can read it in the other gospels. And you know tonight, you know about the death of Jesus. You don't need me to rehearse every detail of it tonight. You understand it. The death of Jesus dying was a horrible death. It was such a painful death. It was such an agonizing death. The cross alone was such a horrible death. The cross by itself was suffering that you cannot even imagine that a human should never have to endure. But my Lord God, it wasn't just the cross when they nailed him on that cross. But I want you to understand that even before the cross, what our Lord and Savior endured is almost beyond the imagination, the comprehension that we have tonight. Look at just what Mark recorded in his gospel. Mark tells us that he was arrested. He was tried and convicted. He was beaten by the temple guards. They didn't stop there. They took him down to Pilate's hall. And there he was abused by Pilate's soldiers. There he was scourged. There he was beaten. We understand he was beaten till literally his insides was visible from the outside. Not only was that, he was spit upon. He was not only that, but his beard was plucked right out of his face. Read the book of Isaiah. Absolutely. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They mashed it deep into his head and deep into his skull. We understand tonight the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We have a comprehension of it tonight. But oh, the question that still ponders the hearts of men and women tonight is, why would Jesus suffer like he suffered that day? Why is it? We understand the how. We understand how it came about. We understand what went on. But the question I've never been able to comprehend, Brother Rick Combs, is that love of God. That God so loved me that he would endure my punishment. That he would bear my shame. That he would bear my reproach. All because he loved me. Brother Raleigh, I've never been able to comprehend it. Fathom the love of God. And yet tonight in this congregation, many of you question and are struggling tonight with a doubt. Does God really care about me? Whew. I tell you tonight, Calvary forever stands to answer that question, that God forever loves humanity. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Is this too elementary for you all tonight? All right. Whew. As Jesus hung on that cross, giving his life for the lost, his enemies circled him like a flock of hungry vultures. Brother Rob Davis, they hated him so much. They hated him to such extent that they made fun of him. They taunted him as he died upon the cross of Calvary. Look at the language in this text tonight. Look at it. The Bible, Mark records these words. They mocked. Mocking, that means to toy with. That carries the ideal of they made fun of him with a desire to harm. They railed on him. That means they blasphemed him. They said all kinds of evil things about this man on the cross. They wagged their heads at him. They taunted him, telling him to come down from the cross. If he was really who he claimed to be, they said, come down. You want us to believe that you are the Son of God? Come down off that cross. But what they didn't understand was it wasn't for him to come down, but it was for him to stay on that cross and give his life in our place. Come down. Come down. Could I tell you, Jesus Christ did not have anything to prove. I refuse to argue with people. I won't do it. I will not do it. They try to entrap me. They try to trick me into it. I will not. Because Brother Rob Davis, my Savior, hung on that cross. They said to him, come down and prove who you are. But he proved who he was by staying on that cross. He didn't have to come down to please them, but he had to stay on that cross to please his Father. Get a witness out there tonight? Hallelujah. They said to him, Brother Raleigh, feel like I'm struggling here tonight. They said to him, you saved others. They did not dispute that fact. They did not dispute that fact that he had saved other people. But they said to him, himself he cannot save. Notice the attitude of those Jews toward Jesus that day at the cross. He came into the world as their Messiah. Do you understand that tonight? You and I were Gentiles, alienated from God. He did not come for you and me, but he first came for them. He came for them. And there was their Messiah, Brother Clay, on that cross. And look at their attitude toward him that day. He was the embodiment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Every bit of it was embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to redeem them and usher in the kingdom of God. But they was not looking for a savior like Jesus. They was looking for a conqueror to deliver them from the Roman oppression. They couldn't understand how that a king dying on a Calvary's hill was the way that God would save them. And because he was not who they wanted him to be, they rejected him instead of receiving him. Woo! Can I tell you tonight? Can I tell you tonight that my and your reaction to the cross of Jesus Christ tonight reveals the condition of our heart. You all are quiet tonight. Does that make sense tonight? Our reaction to the cross reveals the condition of our heart. There was no more religious people in the world, Brother Rob Davis, than them men that nailed him to the cross, that urged him to be crucified. But the condition of their heart was revealed when they passed by and saw him on the cross, and the way they reacted, and the manifestation of their heart that came out of their lips toward that man on the cross revealed exactly the condition of their heart. You all are quiet on me tonight. When we sing the old rugged cross, it reveals the condition of our hearts. when the preacher preaches about the cross, it reveals the condition of our heart. It tells on us. It tells whether our hearts burn with a passion for our Savior or if we're a little indifferent toward the Lord of glory. Can I get an amen out there tonight? Y'all believe that tonight? Tell me, how do you feel about the cross of Jesus Christ? Let's walk up Calvary's hill tonight and look at him hanging there on the cross. Look at him there tonight on the cross. Tell me, what does your heart say? What's on your lips at the foot of the cross tonight? And what's on our lips and what's on our minds will tell us really what's in our hearts. Christians have got cold toward the cross. Amen, preacher? Am I preaching this bad or are you all this quiet? You all understand that tonight? Our reaction to the cross, Brother Clay, reveals the true condition of our heart. Let me hurry tonight. It's something to me tonight that after man had done his best, preaching on the cross probably gets old to most people in the church, but it's a subject that never gets old to me. It don't matter how many times I preach it, don't matter how many times I read it, don't matter how many times I study, it's brand new to me every single time. It moves my heart. Oh God, it amazes me how that there was such restraint by our Lord that when them men were blaspheming him, ridiculing him, speaking all manner of evil against him, spitting in his face. Whew. Brother, our Lord showed such restraint. He was God manifested in the flesh. And he let a wicked Roman soldier walk up and smite him. And he never opened his mouth. Whoo! Never said a word. I'll tell you what I believe, Brother Raleigh. His word spoke man into existence. His word could have turned them men back into the dust from which they came. He didn't even have to call the legions of heaven to take up his case. I believe tonight he could have spoke the word and vaporized them men and sent them back to the dust of the earth from which they came. But he never opened his mouth, but he humbled himself. Whoo! Jesus Christ, the one who said that it's not robbery to be equal with God because he was equal with God, coexistent, co-eternal, co-equal with God, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we'll never be more like Jesus Christ than when we forgive our enemies. Preach, pastor, preach. Woo! Preach on, pastor, preach on. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're never more like Jesus Christ than when you don't take your own part. Woo! Yes. 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 Listen. Listen, the cross was never plan B. It was always plan A, Brother Raleigh. The very moment that Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity. Well, I appreciate you all bearing with me tonight. from the very moment that he stepped from eternity into time and donned himself in human flesh as a babe there in Bethlehem. I want you to understand that from that moment, from the first moment that he stepped on the scene that night, there was only one objective in his life, and that was to head toward the cross of Calvary. That's it. One objective, head toward the cross of Calvary. And that night on the cross, that day rather on the cross, when men had done their best to ridicule and belittle the Lord Jesus, God turned the lights out on the entire world that night. Am I boring you all tonight? He turned the lights out. Brother Clay, I think God was saying, I think that when he turned the lights out, I think he is saying, you've mocked my son long enough. I preached about it here a little bit Sunday night. We're limited by time, and I couldn't get in everything I wanted to. I want you to understand something tonight. There's coming a count when every person who has done despite to the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand tonight that if we commit willful sin, we crucify him afresh. There's coming a vengeance day, Brother Rob Davis. There's coming a vengeance day when absolutely, vengeance is going to be taken out on those who crucify the Lord of glory, who transgress his blood and trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God. There's coming a vengeance day. Y'all believe that tonight? I wanted to preach in such a way Sunday night that you all would live more careful than we've been living. I don't know how many people has told me after Sunday night, man, you made me feel lost. Well, I don't want you to, it's not my intention to actually want to make you feel like a sinner, but if that'll help you get closer to God, I'll take it. Y'all hear what I'm preaching to you about tonight? Understand that when we go out and engage in willful sin, we do so through the blood of Jesus Christ. When God turned out the lights that night, he was saying to the world, you have mocked my son long enough. But he didn't leave the lights out. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day he's going to turn the lights out. The heavens are going to melt. The earth is going to melt. God is absolutely going to judge this world in its entirety for the penalty of sin. You better believe it. God will not let people despise his son, Jesus Christ, and get away with it. Get a witness out there that tonight. Whew. During those hours of darkness, our Lord suffered the worst of his torments, I believe, Brother Clay. Yes, sir. I believe in that hour of darkness. I believe in that hour of darkness that my Savior suffered more than any Roman soldier could have ever put upon him. Oh, the torture that he endured and the pain and the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. But I want you to know that in that darkness, in that darkness, in that hour, our Lord absolutely had the sins of the entire world transferred up on him. He was a man who absolutely knew no sin. In him was no sin. He was sinless. But yet the sinless Lamb of God became the sacrifice for the sin of the entire world. The whole sins of humanity was put upon our Lord in that darkness. Let me break it down and help you understand this tonight. All the pain of hell was put upon the Lord in that darkness. The undiluted wrath of Almighty God was unleashed upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally took our place on that cross. He died our death. He suffered our hell. He paid our price. Our sins was transferred on him at the cross. He died my death, Brother Bruce. He bore my sin. Brother Raleigh, he suffered hell in the physical sense. He went to hell. He went to hell. Whoo! He went to hell so that no man would ever have to go.
Amen.
Woo! Come on. Woo! I love it. I love when somebody gets a feeling self-righteous. My God. Brother Clay Brewer, we're a long way tonight from where we was. Brother Tim was singing so good about it. Whew. Man, my heart was a stirring, Brother Tim, when you were saying, think about where he brought you from. My God in heaven tonight. Whew. And every one of us in this house tonight was bound for hell. And they wouldn't a thing that we could do about it. Somebody help this preacher preach tonight. You had a destination. Your father Adam gave you a destination. And it was hell fire. Hallelujah. But Jesus on that cross suffered my shame, bore my sin, went down to hell that I would not have to go. Glory to God. And I want you to understand something about the cross of Jesus Christ tonight. It wasn't just on the cross that my sin was transferred onto him, Brother John Anderson. But at the cross, his righteousness was transferred onto me. Hallelujah. He took my sin. God took my sin, Brother Raleigh Barger, and transferred it onto the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then he took the righteousness and the holiness and the purity of Jesus Christ and transferred it onto me. Woo! When God looked at us, Brother Rick Combs, before Calvary, he seen sinners worthy of hell. But when Jesus died on that cross, whew, and took our place. Now when I got saved, Brother Clay Brewer, when God looks at me, he no longer sees a filthy, rotten sinner. He sees the righteousness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to tell you something tonight. If you're one of them people in this church that's cheating yourself out of what God's got before you because you're saying, I'm not worthy, you need to go back to the cross and understand that when you kneel at the cross of Jesus Christ, you're no longer coming in your righteousness, you're no longer coming in your holiness, but you're coming in the righteousness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! My God in heaven tonight. I'm telling you, Brother Bruce, I know some people don't like my doctrine. I want to tell you something, brethren. I can't live this way. I can't live holy in myself, righteous in myself. Brother Raleigh, I tried it. I grew up in church. I tried it. Yeah. I was continually not doing like I needed to do, sister. Even though I came to a good church that preached to me. Whew, y'all ain't helping me tonight. It's all right. But Brother Clay, when I got saved. Whew, when I got saved. Whew, it's no longer my life. It's His life. That's why we talk about Jesus being a mind regulator, a heart changer, fixing us up. After I got saved, He changed my ambitions. He changed my motives. He changed my desires because He changed me. Because at the cross He took His righteousness and imputed it to me. He took His holiness and imparted it onto me. I'm about to let you go tonight. My Lord God in heaven tonight. My Lord God in heaven tonight. Listen to me tonight. You're never going to get out of that vicious cycle of up and down and in and out. And you're not going to get out of that by making a better commitment. You're not going to get out of that by promising those that you love that you're going to do better. There's only one way to get out of it. That's at the cross. At the foot of the cross. Whew. After 6 hours on the cross, He dismissed His spirit when He knew the price for sin had been paid. God was eternally satisfied. The words of Jesus from the cross were not words of a victim, but shouts of a victor. He did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Whew. Whew. Hell said, "He's finished." But Jesus said, "The work is finished." Glory to God. When Jesus died on that cross, give me just a few minutes, okay? When Jesus died on the cross, His death signaled the defeat of three terrible enemies to humanity. And I want to share real quickly with you tonight. His death signified the defeat of Satan, Brother Rick Combs. When Jesus died on the cross, His death spelled doom for Satan's dominion in this world. I want you to understand tonight, Satan is a defeated foe. We are not, my God in heaven tonight, the majority of people in the church tonight have the mentality there's coming a day when Satan's going to be defeated. I want you to understand something tonight. Satan is defeated already tonight. That's why when we claim the blood of Jesus, when we say in the name of Jesus, when we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus, Satan no longer has power over that situation. Can you all say amen tonight? I heard a story just today of a grandma whose grandson became possessed of the devil. He calls his grandma, true story, in the middle of the night. Grandma, pray for me. Pray for me. And then begins to speak with a demonic tone. Satan speaking all kinds of things through him to this little old godly woman, Brother Raleigh Barger. And then he would come out of it, Grandma, pray for me. Grandma, pray. And then go back into this devil talking. And this little old godly woman on the other end of the telephone, not even in his presence, begins to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all she did. She began to plead the blood of Jesus and had faith in the Jesus that she was claiming. And the devil had to let her grandson go. Yeah. I'm telling you tonight, you all are looking at me. I'm telling you all tonight, the devil don't have any right to control your life one more day. He don't have a right to torment you one more minute. He is a defeated foe. Woo! Jesus not only defeated Satan at the cross, he defeated sin at the cross. He defeated sin at the cross. I need to quit tonight. I ain't going to get done. Preach too long. I'm sorry. He defeated sin at the cross. Some of you in this congregation tonight, right here. There ain't a lot of us tonight, but right here. You're struggling with sin. Sin has dominion in your life. But I want to tell you, the cross of Jesus Christ will break the power of sin in your life tonight. Woo! My God in heaven tonight. You don't have to live another day. Lord, would you help me preach right here? My church won't help me right here. Glory to God. Somebody in this house tonight, sin has got power on your life. It's making you do things that you really probably don't want to even do. You're ashamed of it. You don't want people to know what your taskmaster's making you do and how he's making you live. But I want to tell you tonight, at the cross, at the foot of the cross tonight, sin's dominion in your life can be broken. Preach, Pastor. Woo! My God, he can break the chain. He can break the chain tonight. Oh God, his death signaled the defeat of separation. Sin had separated us from our God. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross broke down that wall of separation and brought us back into a fellowship with God. Help me right here, Lord. It's a Wednesday night. The devil don't want nobody getting up out of their seat and getting victory in their life. I want to tell you something tonight on a Wednesday night. That fellowship between you and God, it's been broken. A time when you had sweet communion with God and it's not there no longer. The cross will break down that barrier. I feel the Holy Ghost on my heart right now. Yes, sir.
Right here tonight. Right here tonight. I've got a lot more to preach, but I'm going to quit right here and try to make an altar call. Right here tonight. Somebody. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus wants nothing more than to put you back in fellowship with God again. I'm not to my last point, but I stand all over the house. I stand all over the house. Oh, God. You know why he didn't save himself? Because he couldn't save himself, Brother Rick, and save me and you. Father, I need you right now to do what I can't do. We're scattered to the four winds tonight, Lord, in our minds and in our spirits. I feel like Satan wants to divert us tonight. He wants us to let this opportunity slip tonight. I felt you. I felt you witnessing me. You're wanting to restore somebody back to that place of fellowship. Their life's going the wrong way. They're in a vicious cycle that they need to break out of tonight. Lord, break the power that's got a hold of them tonight. Through the power of the cross, Lord, restore them back to that place of fellowship where they can have peace and joy and love, where they can come back to that place that they once had with you. And know that contentment and that peace that's only found in communion with you, Lord. If you'll do that tonight, Lord, I'll give you the praise. I'll give you the honor. We're surrendering to your will right now, Lord. We're asking you to have your way. We're asking you to deal with hearts in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar's open tonight. This altar's open tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.